Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 17. Thought for Meditation and Prayer. I shall read from the Mount of Blessing, beginning with the third paragraph on page 116. This page is based on the scripture, "Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Temptation is enticement to sin, and this does not proceed from God, but from Satan, and from the evil of our own hearts. God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. Satan seeks to bring us into temptation, that the evil of our character may be revealed before men and angels, that he may claim us as his own. The enemy leads us into sin, and then he accuses us before the heavenly universe, as unworthy of the love of God. Every temptation resisted, every trial bravely borne, gives us a new experience in character building. The soul that resists temptation through divine power reveals to the world, and to the universe, the efficiency of the grace of Christ. Here is seen that Satan is the great tempter of our souls, that he constantly seeks to make us fall. But he cannot do anything against us if our hearts be right with God, and if we stay within the hedge he has built around us. He can succeed only if we ourselves make it possible. If we willingly yield to sin, we thus voluntarily surrender to Satan. Let us not forget that no one can keep on going his own way, and at the same time pray the Lord's Prayer, without making a liar of himself. But those who wholeheartedly take the Lord at his word, and allow him to direct their steps, they never go wrong. We should pray to be among this latter class. Bright clouds bring gentle rain. Text of address by Victor Tasho Hadef, Minister of Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Sabbath, November 30, 1946, Mount Carmel Chapel, Waco, Texas. This afternoon we are to study the 10th chapter of Zechariah. To find the time of the fulfillment of its prophecy, and of the promises it contains, we need look no further than the first verse of the chapter. Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds, and give them showers of rain, to every one grass in the field. These figures of speech, do you know, are not used by inspiration promiscuously. The term latter rain must have its special and accurate significance. Inspiration chose to use the term rain, because rain makes things grow, and brings abundant harvest. The term latter denotes the last rain, before the harvest, the rain that completes maturity, and that ripens the grain. The latter rain of truth, therefore, is the very last, the one that is to develop the people of God, for the harvest, for the time in which God separates the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:30, the wise virgins from the foolish ones, Matthew 25:1-12, the good fish from the bad, Matthew 13:47, 48, and the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:32, 33. In short, the harvest is the day of cleansing, the day of judgment, the antitypical day of atonement, the day in which the sinners are cut off. This spiritual latter rain is, therefore, to do to the church just what the natural latter rain does to the field. Without this latter rain, the saints could not develop for the heavenly garner, neither could the tares for the fire. By the latter rain, therefore, is illustrated the last shower of truth. And, too, this last portion of truth must come as freely to every member of the church, who lives just prior to the harvest time, as does the rain come to every grass in the field. Just as soon as this final touch of development is accomplished, the sickle is to be put to the precious golden grain. But let us remember that it is not left in the field to rot, it is put into the barn, kingdom, while the tares are burned, so says the Lord, Matthew 13:30. What is symbolized by the latter rain? Is it miracle working truth, or is it miracle working power? The prophet Joel explains that the miracle working power comes after both the former and the latter rain. Says he, "And it shall come to pass afterward, after the former and the latter rain," Joel 2:23, "that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." Joel 2:28, 29. Plainly, then, the latter rain is miracle-working truth that causes the saints to mature for the harvest, of which the 144,000 are the first fruits, Revelation 14:4. Then, in order to quickly gather the second fruits, God pours his Spirit upon every first fruit saint, upon every one grass, old or young, boy or girl, not upon one here and upon another there. Obviously, bright clouds represent agencies conveying truth which they scatter everywhere in the Lord's vineyard, over every church member, everyone, grass, wheat, or air. Literally speaking, dark clouds suggest a very heavy and damaging rain that frightens the beholders. Conversely, bright clouds suggest a gentle rain, the kind that descends in such a way so that the ground can absorb all of it. It does not waste itself. Spiritually speaking, dark clouds would, therefore, represent a source of dangerous reading matter, and too voluminous for one to welcome or to comprehend. But bright clouds stand for a source of small, easily comprehended truth-laden publications packed with meat in due season, truth that comes in portions easy to take in, easy to assimilate all of it, and thus to develop the recipient of it for the Master's use and for His service. Then, too, spiritual latter rain must fall as freely and without cost to the recipients as does literal rain. Thus it is that never before has the world witnessed so much absolutely free literature scattered away, as this literature is. Millions. So it is that these small comprehensive publications, the bright clouds, laden with present truth, are now being scattered as leaves of autumn throughout Laodicea, to every church member, to every one grass, in the vineyard of the Lord. The final results? More than 1,000, attests inspiration, will soon be converted in one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. Review and Herald, November 10, 1885. Accordingly, along with the world's dark clouds that now hover over those who are pessimistic about the promises of God, there are these bright clouds that hover over the faithful, believing, and trusting children of God. And so, brother, sister, you need not listen to the voices that urge you to shut yourself in from this gentle rain, or to tuck in under someone's umbrella. Come out and avail yourself of this much-needed shower. It is sent to give you the development which you need, and to enable you to survive the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the judgment for the living. Delay no longer, get out in the open and let the precious rain fall upon you. Let it soak in through and through, lest the angels find you unfit for the barn, and they cast you into the fire along with the tares. Inspiration makes it as clear as can be made that not a soul, not one blade of grass, can be fit for the kingdom barn if it fails to absorb this rain of truth. How important then that you should avail yourselves of it. No, you cannot afford to stand dry under the umbrellas of truth haters. Get out from under their devilish umbrellas, lest you lose out eternally, lest you hopelessly cry out, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Jeremiah 8:20. Zechariah 10:2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen lie, and have told false dreams, they comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way, as a flock, they were troubled, because there was no shepherd. Here is conveyed the thought that this character-building and wisdom-and light-importing rain that fits one for the society of heaven finds the waiting ones listening to idols speaking vanity, and to diviners telling false dreams, in vain trying to comfort. Will you not heed inspiration's voice, and turn away from listening to idols? Who could they be if not vain self-important truth-hating ministers that are idolized by the laity, false preachers trying to comfort by preaching falsehood? Revival and reformation therefore must do their work among both ministers and laity. Indeed, the sheep are troubled, because there is no real shepherd anywhere. They all have gone their own way. Zechariah 10:3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. This verse discloses that the Lord has visited His people with revealed truth preparatory to separating the goats from the sheep, whereupon He is to reward the sheep, and punish the goats, the work of the judgment for the living. His visit makes His servants as goodly horses in His vineyard. Zechariah 10:4. Out of Him came forth a corner, out of Him the nail, out of Him the battle bow, out of Him every oppressor together. The Lord Himself chooses from Judah the cornerstone founder, the nail organizer, the bow the truth, or instrument by which to gain the victory over the enemy, and every oppressor ruler. With these He builds the house of Judah. Zechariah 10:5. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. The victory shall be so complete that even the demons who lead our enemies in the conflict will themselves be confounded. Zechariah 10:6. and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be, as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. The statements, I will strengthen, instead of save, the house of Judah, and I will save instead of strengthen the house of Joseph, imply that the house of Judah is saved before the house of Joseph is, and to save the house of Joseph he strengthens the house of Judah. The second fruits need to be saved, whereas the first fruits need to be fitted for service. Both are gathered into one place, the barn, the kingdom. The Lord extends this favor to both of them because he has mercy upon them and will treat them as though they had never caused him to cast them out. Zechariah 10:7. And the of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine, yea, their children shall see it and be glad, their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. The fathers shall rejoice, and the children shall see it. He shall thus turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, Malachi 4:6. Zechariah 10:8. I will hiss for them, and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase, as they have increased. They shall increase, that is, the second fruits are to be added to the first fruits. Revelation 7:4, 9. Zechariah 10:9. And I will so multiply them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children, and turn again to their homeland. Zechariah 10:10. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. The elect shall be gathered from everywhere, and shall spread as far as the land of Gilead and Lebanon. But even then, the place shall be too small for them. Zechariah 10:11, 12. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. That is to say, the gathering of the people is to be unobstructed. Every hindrance is to be removed. The reign of sin is to be brought to an end. The nations who have enslaved God's people are to be humbled, and their scepters' thrones are to be no more. Be strong in the Lord, walk up and down happy and without fear, saith the Lord. The work that God has begun in the human heart by divine light and knowledge must continually go forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement, and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and he will finish his work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former reign. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter reign. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. Testimonies to Ministers, page 507. Since this truth is so vitally important, do not let any enemy against revealed truth confuse you. If he tries to convince you against this truth, you take him to task, make him give a more biblical interpretation of these scriptures. If he cannot give you something better or as good, then tell him to mind his own business, and you will mind yours.